So if we'll have a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 6. Verse number 6, it says, "And ye," so this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonian church, the church in Thessalonica. He says, "And ye became followers of us." So he's speaking about himself and Silvanus and Timotheus, people like this. He goes, "Became followers of us and of the Lord." So of course, you know, as we seek direction, we gave him some guidance by godly men, godly counsel. You know, we must remember that we're also following the Lord. Right? I mean, if you have a spiritual head, a religious leader, who is not following the Lord, then don't follow that man. Make sure that you follow the man who is following the Lord. But then it says this, "Having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost," then it says this, "so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." The title for the sermon tonight is "Examples to All." Hey, the Thessalonian church was known as "Ensamples to All that Believe in Macedonia and Achaia." So the title is "Examples to All." You see, this church had matured, it had developed, it had grown to the point that, you know, the work of the church, the faith of the church was being known in other places of the world. You know, I kind of wonder, why is it that the Lord opened the doors for me to preach in Harvey Bay? You know, you say, how did that happen, Pastor? I'll tell you very quickly. The pastor of that church was visiting New Zealand, was visiting his sister in Auckland, went to his sister's church, okay, and, you know, explained, "Hey, you know, I'm a pastor in Harvey Bay, you know, we're a church, we're 2 years old, we don't have a lot of fellowship, I don't have any pastor friends, you know," and then there was one of the church members there that knows me, you know, thank God for things like Facebook, social media. He goes, "Hey, you know, do you know Pastor Kevin Sepulveda?" And he goes, "Well, I've kind of heard of him." He goes, "You know, he's only a few hours away from you, why don't you get in touch?" You know, and you say, "Well, you know, is that a big deal?" Well, when I look at this, you know, that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, you know, it tells me that there are other places, you know, where the saints are that are hearing about our church, that are hearing about our work. This tells me that we're growing, we're maturing, our example, our influence is being spread abroad. And I think this is great. You know, the first 5 years as a church, I mean, I'm sure we've been influential to others, praise God about that. But you know, as the years have gone by, we've been more influential to brethren in other places of this nation and even to New Zealand, praise God. You know, other places that have heard about our church and the work that we've done. And I paused about that and I kind of thought, you know what? This is a good sign for our church. Even though numerically we haven't grown that much. Well, we have, but not that much, you know, numerically. But at least I can see that our influence is growing. You know, even things like just the live streaming that we have. You know, when we started this church, I never desired to live stream. I just didn't want to do it. You know, I kind of thought I'd be encouraging the brethren to just stay home in pajamas and tune into the service rather than be in the house of God. But hey, look, it's a Wednesday night, midweek services. You know, we've got, you know, what is it? 3/4 of a full house tonight. Praise God for that. There are a lot of churches that can't get a midweek service happening. Okay, because the people aren't there. So I can definitely see, even though we're not many in numbers, our influence is growing. Okay? And again, you say, well, that's the work of the pastor. And yes, of course, the pastor should be an example. But again, look at verse number 7. It says, "So that ye," the whole church, every member, every man, woman, and child in that church, "so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And so the title of the sermon, like sermon, I said, "Examples to All." You know, as we continue to grow as a church, as a local body, ye, together, we should desire to be examples to others, to be a godly influence to other Christians that, hey, live in Harvey Bay. Praise God that, hey, soon, next month, in Melbourne, some of us are going down to Melbourne from this church, from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to do a soul-winning work there. Hey, we can spread our influence, right? The online ministry, the live streaming, praise God for those that can tune in that might not have a good church to go to. You know, we need to be seeking how we can continue to spread our influence. And again, you know, this isn't we just need to make this name. Like, I'm not looking to build a kingdom on this earth. I'm really not. I'm interested in the kingdom of God. Right? This is not about boasting of a man or of a church necessarily, but I can see by God's word, a good, healthy church does start to have influence on brethren in other places. Like I said, this is a good sign for our church. Probably something that I've overlooked in the past, but I realized, no, this is a really good sign. It's a good sign that God is working in our church. And so what I have for you today, brethren, are 5 points where we can be examples, where I want our church to be an example to others. Hey, an example to one another here in this church. We continue to motivate, provoke each other unto love and good works, but also how we can influence other brethren that are in other places. So let's continue there in verse number 8. It says, for from you, hey, that's from the Thessalonian church, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also, look at this, in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Paul says, you know, when I go and visit other churches, I didn't even have to talk about the Thessalonian church. I didn't even have to mention you guys. They've all heard of you. They've all heard of the work of God. They've all heard how you guys proclaim the gospel message. You know, we can look at verse number 8 and say, hey, for this church, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in the Sunshine Coast and in Sydney, but also in every place. Hey, Harvey Bay, yes, Melbourne. Yes, other places that we can have an influence. You know, using the technology, the live streaming to reach other people. Yeah, this is a good thing. And I think, you know what, this is where I really want us to grow in. I realize the Sunshine Coast is not necessarily the place that you're going to get people to move, to work and live here. It seems to be, the Sunshine Coast seems to be this sort of rotating location. You know, like people come for a period of time, or they might come on holidays, or whatever it is. It's very hard for people to sort of settle in on a place like the Sunshine Coast, which is why most people live in the big cities. Okay, that's why. But you know what? Okay, we may never be the 100-member, the 200-member church, and it's not necessarily my desire. If that's God's will, that's God's will, but I want our influence to reach other places, other people. And so point number one, brethren, is to be an example to believers in other places. We need to be an example to believers in other places. You know, it's very tempting. It's very natural to be, you know, us four and no more. Just us. You know, we are like, we're just the, you know, we're the diehards. You know, you know, we're the ones that are, you know, right on this or that doctrine. And, you know, it's us four and no more. That can be very tempting. And it's very easy, actually, to take that approach. But you know what? We see in Christian maturity, as you develop the influence to other believers, other brethren. Now, this is good. You know, to be able to accept people in our church, that might not be the same as us on all doctrines. You know, if someone's not saved that comes into this church, we should be all over that person to give them the gospel. You know, I mean, you know, we should be, hey, oh, there's Brother Callum preaching. Okay, cool, that's covered. Right, whatever it is, whoever it is, you know, that sister so-and-so going out there and preaching the gospel to that lost one that came to church today. Hey, but if we have a brother that comes in that is saved but is just not quite right on certain issues, you know what, we should be a influence, a godly influence, an encouragement to that person. Not, hey, it's us four no more. You know, hey, we have a chat because, you know, we're in the zone. Like, you know, we're in the game here. You know, this is our game. You know, we're the starting five. You're on the reserve team. No. You know what? We're bringing people. We're trying to bring them in. We're trying to be an example, to be an influence to those that come into our church. You know, please look after our visitors. Look after the brethren that have been attending two or three or four times. It's always weird to come into a place that you're not familiar with. You know, most of us have been here several years. There are people that have come for a few weeks, a few months. They're still not comfortable. Well, then it's our job to make them comfortable. It's our job to influence, to encourage them, right? To help instruct them, to be that example to all. An example to all brethren. If we can't be an example to our visitors, man, we're not going to be an example to others in other places. So please value our visitors. You know, God has sent them to the house of God when they do visit. You know, and hey, you're a brother in the Lord, you're a sister in the Lord. You know, people have hurts, and you know this, because you've got hurts. You've got problems, you've got issues that, you know, you struggle with in life. Well, so do our visitors. Sometimes they're just seeking God. They're just seeking fellowship. They're seeking some love. You know, it's just some companionship. Someone to encourage them. Someone to motivate them. So, yeah, let's look after our believers that come into this house. But also, we want to be an example to believers in other places. That's why it's not just us four and no more. You know, this trip to Melbourne for me is really important. Because it's not just, oh, it's Melbourne and whatever. Like, there are believers there that are excited to have us come there to take them soul winning, right? They can just see with their own eyes someone knock a stranger's door and give them the gospel. There are people like that, excited to see something that we sometimes just take for granted. You know, the work that we do, but it's actually the most important work, preaching the gospel to the lost. You know, if you can't, obviously not everyone can come. I'm not expecting everybody to just go to Melbourne. But obviously, if you're not going to be there, please be praying for us. Please be praying for the saints that are in these other places, that we, the ones that are going out there from Blessed Hope and from New Life, that we can be an example to believers in other places. Look at verse number 9. It says there in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Of course, the turning from idols to serve the true God is their salvation. They've got a great testimony of their salvation. And then it says in verse number 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven." Another great testimony the Thessalonian church has is they're excited for the coming of Christ. They're waiting for the Son to return and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So, yeah, you know, definitely Paul was a pre-wrath believer. The coming of Christ, okay? To deliver us from the wrath to come. Oh, amen, of course. Okay? But, you know, you can see the testimony. What is the testimony of? That they were a mega church, a 1,000-member church? Was their testimony that they were just playing, you know, the contemporary Christian music, the Hillsong, and that, you know, they're selling this many albums? Is that their testimony? What is their testimony of? That they're saved, they preach the gospel, and they're waiting for the coming of Christ. That's a great testimony to have. You know what? That's what we need to be aiming for, brethren, to be excited about these things, to influence others about these great truths, that our Jesus Christ is coming back. You know, this world, this wicked world, is not going to continue forever. One day, God's going to fix it all. And we're going to play a very important role with the Lord Jesus Christ in setting Australia back to the standards that God would have on this earth when Christ rules for 1,000 years. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. So I told you I've got 5 points. So point number one, brethren, was be an example to believers in other places. Other places. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 15. Now, I'll be honest as well. You know, on Sunday morning, I got a message from Brother Jason saying something along the lines of, you know, "I hope you have enjoy your visit to Harvey Bay." And I responded by saying, "I'd much rather be at New Life Baptist Church." Okay? All right? Like, honestly, this is my church. You guys, you know, I feed off you guys too, you know. I hope I can encourage you, but you guys also encourage me. You know, we're working together. We're one body. I don't like being separated sometimes. But, you know, I guess thinking about these things, we need to obviously not be just focused on the work we're doing here, but how we can influence others. But I don't want you thinking, "Oh, Pastor's just going to Sydney, he's going to Melbourne, maybe to the US again one day soon. You know, he just can't wait to get away from us." It's you know, if I could have my own selfish way, I'll just stay right here at all times with you guys. But I want you to see the importance of being an example to other people, influencing other people. We must have all of these areas in our church, okay? This is what God wants us to work toward. You know, helping other people, influencing other people, and not just being focused on the work here alone, okay? Now, Philippians 3:15. What's another example that we need to be? What else do we need to be an example of? Philippians 3:15 says these words, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect." Now, of course, when the Bible says perfect here, it's not saying sinless. You're never going to be sinless. When the Bible says perfect, it means complete, mature. All right, complete or mature. Be thus minded. You know, Paul is encouraging the Philippian church, look, be mature, be complete, be well-rounded as Christians. Don't have something massive that is lacking in your life. That should be our mindset. We should be thinking about working in those areas in our life. And then it says, these words, "And if in anything ye be otherwise minded." So if you have a mind toward anything else than being perfect in Jesus Christ, being complete, it says, "God shall reveal even this unto you." So there are areas in our life that are not perfect. There are areas in our life that we're not mature in when it comes to our Christian walk. And the Bible's saying here that God will reveal that within you. He'll show you those things. So we come to church, we read the Bible, we hear what God has to say, so he can identify areas in our life that we need to work toward, okay, in our maturity. But it's not just within ourselves, because in the Philippian church, there were people that weren't even saved. There were people setting themselves up as preachers, as leaders, and they weren't even saved. Now, these people were not perfect before Jesus Christ. And so another truth, as we keep going through this passage, is that God will reveal the false prophets. God will reveal the false brethren in the church. It says there in verse number 16, it says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Again, what are we minding? What are we being focused upon? Being perfect, okay, being mature, being complete as a Christian. Look at verse number 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so," look at this, "as ye have us for an ensample." An ensample. So it says, look, if you have a Christian in your church, if you have people, mature Christians that are well-rounded, perfect, you can see in their life, in their various places in their life, they've got, they're walking that Christian walk, there's maturity. He says, mark them. They're an example for us. And brethren, if we want to be examples, if we want New Life Baptist Church to be an example to others, then we need to be an example of Christian maturity. An example of Christian maturity or perfection, if you want. So I did my preaching on the perfect man, that series that I did, because I want us to mature. I want us to grow. You know, 5 years in this church, we should be a little bit more mature. Hopefully 5 years more mature, you know, than we first started as a church. And, you know, when we identify areas in our life that are not quite perfect, we need to be seeking the Lord to work that within us, change that about us. You know, I want our church to be a mature, perfect church, an example of perfection. And so we need to be working toward this. And when you identify individuals that have reached this level, you say, look, I'm going to mark them. I'm going to follow their example. You know, hey, again, we're not a cult. Okay. Doesn't mean you do things exactly the same. What I like about the word ensample, you know, the word ensample is not a word we use very common. Like now we just say example for everything. But again, within that word ensample, you can see the word sample. Sample. Okay. You know, praise God if I or others can be a sample of Jesus Christ. When people look at you and go, wow, I can see a little of Christ in that person, because we're just a sample. We're not really, we're not sinless. You know, one day we will be. One day we will have those new resurrected bodies. But we just want to be samples of Jesus, don't we? And again, when you look at the word and sample, they're very similar words. Of course, when you think of the prefix E-N-N, it's like the word enter, and example is like the word exit. It's just the way you sort of look at things. Like if I look at, if I desire to teach my children, I don't know, just because I can't think of anything else. If I teach my daughter how to do bookkeeping, you know, I'm being an ensample to her. You know, what I'm doing is I'm taking her one-on-one and I'm inserting that knowledge into her directly. But, you know, if you're just a strong worker, other people might see you as a strong worker and say, well, that's an example. Okay, for them, it's kind of like this exterior. It's not a work that's directly being done within that person, but they can set that person and say, well, that person is an example. I want to be like that person. I want to work hard like that person. You know, that would be kind of the difference between the word ensample and example, but really it means the same thing. It means that you're having an influence. People can look at you and they're being encouraged by how you serve Jesus Christ. But the way we want to serve Jesus Christ is in perfection. In Christian maturity. We need to be examples of Christian maturity. Why is that? Look, keep going there, verse number 18. He says, "For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." You see, we've been encouraged to be thus minded, to be perfect in all areas of our Christian life. But there are others in the church that mind earthly things. Their focus, their love is on this earth, on the riches of this earth, or on how they can enjoy just this temporal life. God says, don't mark them as your example. Mark those that are perfect in Christ Jesus. Those that are mature. Those are your examples. Follow after them. And so, brethren, if we're honest, we can all definitely say there are areas that we need to be more perfect in, more mature. All right? Like, as your pastor, I hope I've reached a certain level where you can say, you know what? Our pastor, Kevin, is a good example of Christian maturity. I hope you can say that. Like, it's not my desire to be the best preacher in the world. It's not my desire to be the best soul winner in the world. It's not my desire to be the best father in the world, or the best husband in the world, or the best worker in the world. That's not what I'm seeking for, because there's always going to be someone better at certain things. But in all areas of my life, whatever that is, I want to do it very well. I want to have grown. I want to give it the best I've got. Okay? I want to give the best I've got because I'm serving Jesus Christ in all those areas of my life. So I hope you can see within your pastor a certain level of perfection. Okay? Not that I'm sinlessly perfect. Of course, I'm not. I can tell you, I'll be the first one that tells you I'm a sinner. Okay? But you see maturity. Okay? Not just in church. And, you know, sometimes we joke around sometimes, right? Say, you know, let's send Pastor Stevenson down to Sydney to take care of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, things like that. I'm like, I joke around, but I hope you guys realize when it comes to the house of God, I'm very serious. You know, it's not like the house of God for me is not just a joke. Okay, we're serving the Lord God. You know, we come to hear God's word to be fed. You know, to encourage, to motivate. You know, I'm not on this just trigger to just appoint anybody to be the pastor of a church. You know, there's got to be maturity. You know. But if we want to influence other places, if we want to start other churches one day, and I don't know who that will be, if we want to ordain pastors one day, then all of us, like the families, the people, we need to aim toward perfection. Because there are other people in the church, like it says here, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and his glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, I don't want to be a church where we're just focused on this world. And look, we have to talk about this world sometimes. We live in this world. Okay, the world gives us problems, and sometimes we need to pray for one another, and you know, we speak about these things. We're trying to get ahead in life, generally speaking, to some extent, right? To further, hopefully, God's kingdom. That's the end goal at the end of the day. Okay, but we don't want to be a church that's focused on the earthly, on the carnal. We want a church that's focused on the Lord Jesus, to be like him, to be mature in all places of our life. And so, brethren, the second point that I have for you is, be an example of Christian maturity. Look, maybe there's someone in this church that knows more doctrine than me. I don't know, maybe. Okay? But again, as I said, I'm not just trying to be the best of everything. I want to be well-rounded in all areas. I want to be good with doctrine. I want to be good at preaching. I want to be good at soul winning. I want to be good at parenting. I want to be good at being a husband. If I have to work a part-time job one day, you know, if the church can't cover my expenses, I want to be a good employee on that job. I want a good reputation. Okay, with my neighbors, with whoever I encounter. You know, that's what we're seeking for. Perfection, completeness in all areas of our life. Please go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. I guess what I was trying to say, I didn't finish my point there. Maybe there is someone that knows more doctrine than me. Maybe there is someone that knows more Bible than me in this church tonight. Okay, but don't be boastful about just one area of your life. Okay, there might be other areas that are falling apart. Okay, don't be, well, I know the doctrines. I've got them all nailed down. Okay, you're a great listener, but are you a doer? Are you fixing those areas in your life that you need to fix? You know, are you becoming a better student? Are you becoming a better employee? Are you becoming a better soul winner? You know, are you becoming better, a better husband, a better wife? Are you becoming better children? Are you becoming better church members? Okay, we're growing in perfection. We're growing in completeness. Okay, in all areas. All right, don't be satisfied in just one or two areas. You've got other places falling apart. Now, you've got to fix those. You've got to fix those areas in your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6. It says, now we command you, brethren. And this is a very unpopular. I realize since becoming a pastor how unpopular this passage is. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. We command you. This is a command of God. Command. Okay, it's not like some optional thing. Okay? That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother. Okay, that walketh disorderly. What does that mean? To walk disorderly. And not after the tradition which that he received of us. So Paul is saying, look, we've given you a tradition. We've taught you a certain way. But there are others that walk disorderly. Okay, let's keep going there. Verse number 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul says, look, we've not been disorderly among you. We've behaved ourselves. You say, what? What are you talking about, Paul? How have you behaved yourself? How have you not been disorderly? Verse number 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought, look at this, with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. You know, Paul is saying that, hey, even though I'm serving the Thessalonian church, I don't want to be chargeable to this church. We've labored even in night. We've worked double shifts. You know, Paul was a tent maker. He goes, man, I've labored in the church. I've labored in soul winning, but I've also had to go and get myself another job. Okay? Because I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to pass down a tradition. And what is that? Verse number 9. He goes, not because we have not power. He goes, I do have power to live off the church, to be sustained by the church. You know, that is correct. That is right for Christian full-time workers to live off the church. Not because we have not power, but it says this. But to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. He goes, the reason I work so hard, the reason I've got a job to provide for my needs, the reason I work to eat my own bread is to be an example unto the church. This is such an unpopular passage. There are people in the church that are lazy, not working at all. These are the people that are disorderly. Paul says, no, I've come to show you different. We're passing down this tradition, of course, is being a hard worker. Looking after your own needs. Not becoming dependent on other people. Now look, things happen. People go through a hard time. Someone might lose a job or they might crash the car. Something happens, and sometimes as a church, it's good for us to come together and say, how can we help brother so-and-so? How can we help sister so-and-so? That's good and proper. But of course, we're talking about someone who just refuses to labor. Right? He wants the handouts. He doesn't want to labor. And you know, there's a reason why I spend so much time preaching about being a hard worker. Like, because, you know, I'm not hypocritical in this area. You know, before becoming a pastor, I tell you that, honestly, you ring any of my employers, they'll tell you I was a hard worker. I may not have been the best worker, okay? There's always someone better than you, but I was definitely a hard worker. I gave it the best I've got in whatever capacity that was, whatever it was, okay? And then I would hire people, and I'd see this generation come through, and they can't, all they can do is text. They can't even write a sentence. They can't spell. You know, children leave in year 12. They can't do mathematical equations on the spot. They can't communicate. All right? They come in, you know, with self-entitled. And instead of coming, how can I come and profit this business? How can I add value to this business? Okay? They think, hey, what can I take out of this business? Hey, what are you going to provide me? You know, I'm willing to work for you, but look, I need to, you know, I can't start at 8 o'clock. You know, I wake up at 7:30. I can't make it, I'm sorry. You know, can we make it a 9 o'clock start? And I was like, no, get out of here. And I just found it so hard to employ just someone, look, I'm all about giving young people an opportunity. But there's a reason why employees are so scared to give young people opportunities these days. Because so many are lazy. We live in a lazy generation. And look, I was lazy. You know what made me not lazy? Is when I decided, you know what, I want to get married one day. I want to provide for my wife one day. I want to have kids one day. I want to make sure they've got food, clothing, they've got a place to rest their head. So I'm just going to work hard, and God, I'm just going to do what you say, and Lord, you have to bless me. You just have to make it happen. It's so important. It's so important. We started this church. I was working part-time, right? I don't know if you guys all remember, 2 months at least, as a bookkeeper, okay? I was just doing it because I wasn't sure how things are going to go financially. You know, I had Centrelink call me. Did you know that? After 2 months. I had them call me. Normally, you call Centrelink for help, right? They called me and said, did you know you're eligible for this and eligible for that? You know, do you want to apply? I said, no, I don't want to. Okay, not that I'm so... Because it's not like I just fell on hard times. I made a conscious decision and say, Lord, I'm going to go where you want me to go. And Lord, you're just going to have to take care of my needs. You're just going to have to figure it out, God. I'm just going to walk after where you're guiding me, Lord. You know what? And it's just going to have to. It's got to happen. You know, there's just too much of your leading. I believe if I just do it your way, Lord, it's going to work out for me. And I didn't want to become dependent. I'd be setting a bad example, I think. Okay? And look, we want to be examples of strong workers. Point number three. I want our church to be an example of strong workers. Okay? And I'm talking about the place where you go and earn your bread. That's what I'm talking about. Your employment, your place of work. Okay? Because if one day, God willing, he has a man in this church to be ordained as a pastor, I want him, he must have a good report with those that are without. I'm going to call his employer and say, what kind of worker was he? If that employer says, oh, he's lazy, he never came to work on time, he left early, he was always, you know, always reasons why he couldn't get the job done, like, well, then he's definitely not going to get the house of God done. He's definitely not going to prioritize this work. So it's so important that we set an example of strong workers. Look at verse number 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. This is the word of God. If you're lazy, you shouldn't even eat. What should I be doing if I haven't got a job? Get a job. That's what you should be focused on. And for mothers and ladies, you know, you've got a job. Your family, your home. You do the best you can with what God has given you. Okay, if you've only got a husband. Serve the family. I know it's unpopular, okay, unpopular preaching, but that's where you're going to find most joy in life. If you serve the family that God has given you. And young people, you focus on your education, your skills. Okay, when you're ready to go get a job, you start applying. You do the best you can. Okay, you put your best foot forward. You say, you know what, even if work gets hard, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep working hard. You know what, if I lose the job, it's because they're going to fire me because, you know, I just wasn't capable. But you know what, I'm just going to do the best I can. The best I can. If I still can't do it, well, then I've done the best I can. Don't be this generation that gives the least, that is lazy, and then they're surprised when they're fired. They get offended when they're fired. Oh, I'm going to call, what's the place? Work cover, not work cover. Fair work. I'm going to call fair work on you. You've not worked. Why is fair work going to cover you when you've not worked? It's fair work. You haven't done your your share. Okay? How are they going to look after you if you don't even do your fair share? Listen, we need to be an example. And I really mean this. Like, I really mean this. When I this is why I keep preaching about this topic. Because I don't want my children. Look, brethren, please forgive me, but when I preach a sermon, I preach primarily to my children. They're the ones that I want to absorb God's word the most. Okay? And then I know if my children can receive it, then the rest of the church can receive it. That's my goal. I want the children to walk away from church going, hey, you know what? I learned something. There was one point that I picked up from church today. That's my target audience, the children. Okay? That's why I preach these kinds of sermons. Let's keep going there, verse number 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know what's going to happen when you stop working, when you get lazy? You're going to become a busybody, involved in everyone's business. Okay? You know, verse number 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. That with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Say, what do I do if I'm lazy, if I'm unemployed? Well, God says it here. We command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work. Hey, don't get a job and you're like, hey guys, I'm working. Yeah, I've done this many hours. Look, just quietly. It's normal. That's normal life. Being productive is normal life. Just be quiet about it, all right? And eat your own bread. Verse number 13. But ye, brethren, look at this. Be not weary in well-doing. I told you guys, was it last week? A week and a half ago? That I was getting a little bit weary in well-doing. And I was talking about the work and the ministry. But you know what? God is saying here, even in our workplace, you can get weary. Yeah. You know, you work hard. You say, man, I'm stuck in this dead-end job. I'm not going anywhere. Kind of bored. I don't like my colleagues. My boss is frustrating me. And you can become weary in well-doing. Again, the reminder here, look, brethren, don't be weary in well-doing. You know, working a job, being productive is well-doing. There are some people that think, I'll just quit my job and get into full-time ministry. And look, if the Lord opens those doors, praise God for that. Okay? But you'll notice that when Jesus Christ sought his disciples, he went to workers. The fishermen that were fishing. And Christ said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Who was a tax collector? Was it Matthew? He was right there, right? He was right there conducting business, and God says, hey, Jesus Christ says, hey, you come and follow me. Christ is looking for workers, right? If we want to be a church that serves and works for Jesus, then we need to get busy in our employment. Ladies, you need to get busy in your families. Be productive. Use the time, the skills, you know, every day that God has given you to further yourself. It's important. And look, there's joy. I'll show you this. Let's keep going there. Look at verse number 14. It says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, look at this. If you refuse to work, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy. Okay, so don't treat him badly, but admonish him as a brother. Like he's my brother. Admonish him. Encourage him. Hey, brother, you need to get out there. Be productive. Do something in your life. Okay? Because as a pastor, I want a clear conscience before God in this church. I want a clear conscience. Okay? And look, I've had several conversations with people about this topic. I want you to understand. Okay? Now, this isn't listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 with all the other issues why you'd kick someone out of church. Okay? But this is still an important issue. Okay? This issue I treat a little bit more carefully than the others. Okay? Just a little bit more carefully. But I make it very clear for men that refuse to work that they need to get busy. They need to get busy working. I want to have a clear conscience in this church. I want a church of hard workers. I want to set a good example in our church. You know, the reason I try to preach and study deeply in God's word is because this is now my only chance to show you an example of work. You know, studying the church and in Sydney should be another example. Our pastor's willing to travel almost every week, you know, to get down there and just to serve other people. Hope you can see that in me. I want to be an example of this, and I want our church to be an example to others. See, the problem with this, with unemployment, laziness, is that it's contagious. It's contagious. Laziness is contagious. Because our flesh wants to just play video games. Like, our flesh just wants to do fun activities, right? Our flesh would rather eat McDonald's than, or maybe whatever your favorite food is, right? Than going to the gym and working hard or going for a run. You know, there's this natural tendency in our flesh to be lazy, self-willed. And if we allow this behavior in our church, it's going to be contagious in our church. I told you I'm preaching to our children. I want our children to have good examples of hard workers, not lazy men in our church. Because it's contagious. They're gonna follow the same patterns they see happen within our church. Again, it's not popular, is it? It's not popular at all. But it needs to be preached. It's God's word. 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. As I said to you, the title for the sermon tonight was Examples to All. Examples to all. Number one was be an example to believers in other places. Number two, an example of Christian maturity. And number three, an example of strong workers. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1. I'll get through the next two a lot quicker. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, the elders, and the elders there are the pastors. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Look at the job of the pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Elders, pastors, the shepherd, the one that feeds the flock, is to be an ensample to the flock. And so, again, what kind of example do we want to set forth as a church? Blessed Old Baptist Church still needs a pastor. Is the pastor going to come from New Life Baptist Church? Is the pastor going to come from Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Is the pastor going to come from another place? I don't know. Okay? But what we see here is that whoever we choose to be that elder must be an ensample to the flock. They must be capable of feeding people God's word. Look, I want to be friendly. I try to be friendly. I try to be a blessing to you guys. But that is not my number one. Now, I should be all of those things. But even more important than that is that I'm feeding you God's word. That's what you should be looking for, a friend pastor. They feed me God's word. They feed the new man. They feed the soul. I get nutrition. You know, that daily bread that comes from God's word. That's what we should be looking for in a pastor. You know, the next point that I have for you, brethren, point number four is we want to be an example of careful ordination. Carefully ordaining the right men. I told you earlier, I'm not in this rush. I'm not like trigger happy. The first person that says, I want to be the pastor. All right, there you go. No, careful ordination. All right, there are qualifications found in the Bible. And this is why I want everyone to be just working toward being perfect, being complete. You don't know. Like right now, maybe in your heart, you're like, why are you saying that, pastor? I'll never want to be a pastor. And maybe that's right. Maybe you're going to have that desire for the rest of your life, potentially. But as you mature and you grow and you know, you see the work of God in your life and you start to have a heaviness in your heart for believers that don't have a good church, or you know, places in Australia or other places in the world that don't have a good church, and your heart starts to yearn and be sad for those people, then you may one day discover that the Lord is leading you to start to be a pastor. But you got to start working on being perfect, being complete. Like if you're lazy, right, like we saw earlier, it's not going to happen for you. You're like, God called me to the ministry. But you're lazy and you're doing nothing with your life. How can you expect Christ to, even if he's walking past, he's still going to choose the one that's fishing, the one that's busy. That's who he's going to choose to get into the ministry. The one who's already laboring, getting himself prepared. You say, well, you know what, I definitely never want to be a pastor. But that doesn't give you an excuse to not be perfect. It doesn't give you an excuse to not continue to grow and be an sample of Jesus Christ, an example to others. We're 5 years old as a church, brethren, aren't we? 5 years old. I want to continue our church, not just myself. I want our whole church to be a godly example. I love it when other men preach. I love it when Pastor Stevenson preaches, you know, and I hear good feedback. Say, hey, that was a good sermon. You know, I can see brother so-and-so growing in the Lord. You know, when I first heard them and when I hear them preach now, I can see this growth. I can see this maturity. To me, that's wonderful news. I love that feedback. You know, the thing that gives me the most pleasure as a pastor is seeing my people grow in the Lord. That gives me so much pleasure. Because then I know something's happening. Like, we're not just meeting and just going through the motions. There's growth. There's a work of God in your heart. That's what I love to hear. So we need to be an example of careful ordination, making sure we ordain the right people. There are too many disqualified or unqualified pastors in this world. There are too many pastors that can't even feed their church the word of God. Or all they do is feed the milk. Milk, milk, milk. And milk is good. We want some milk every now and again. All right? But eventually you're going to be like, man, pastor, I need more than milk. Can you add some Weet-Bix? You know, can you put some honey in that Weet-Bix? I need a bit more of a cereal now, pastor. I'm trying to grow. And some pastor, just milk, 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 milk. And then they're wondering, how come my church never grows? How come we don't have an influence like other churches? Because you've got to feed them. Okay, you can't go straight to the meat. All right, but okay, you get the beef, you know, get minced meat, turn it into a beef patty, and give them a cheeseburger. Okay, before they get into the steak. Slowly, right? Getting deeper and deeper into God's word. We need it all. We need the milk. We need the Weet-Bix, the cheeseburger, and the steak. We need it all for a healthy diet. Okay? Well, not a cheeseburger. Healthy cheeseburger. Healthy cheeseburger. All right? A homemade cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato. Okay? Not the Hungry Jack's or the McDonald's. All right. But an example of careful ordination. You know, I want you to understand, even though I can't wait for God to just send us a man carefully examining, that man has to prove themselves to be the right candidate for the position. One more passage, please. I'm sorry, I'm going a bit over time. John chapter 13, verse 12. John chapter 13, verse number 12. John chapter 13, verse number 12. I sort of can't even believe this story. You know, I almost can't believe this took place. Like, if this wasn't recorded in the Bible, I would not believe it. But John chapter 13, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Like, if this story was not in the Bible and someone told you, there was a time when Jesus Christ actually got down on his knees and washed his disciples' dirty feet. The God of the universe did this. You'd be like, come on. I mean, that's what I think. If this wasn't recorded, I'd be like, I can't believe Jesus Christ would do such a thing. And that's why Peter, I can relate to Peter. He's like, Jesus, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Like, he just can't handle that thought. You know, I guess, you know, it's a bit hard to absorb, but Jesus Christ is teaching them something. Verse number 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so also ought to wash one another's feet. Look at this. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, look at this. Happy are ye if ye do them. Point number 5, brethren, is we need to be an example of brotherly service. If our brother needs his feet washed, we should be willing to get down on our knees and wash their feet. And of course, I'm not talking literally here. Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. A brother in need. A brother that needs help in whatever capacity, whatever situation. We should be willing to go and say, brother, how can I help? Can I help? Am I the right person to help? How can I help? We need to be an example of brotherly service. And the best place to practice this is in God's house. Again, just find something to do in God's house. I need another song leader. Okay? I need another song leader. If you're the person, say, I can serve. I can serve in this capacity. I can song lead. Then tell me. All right? You say, hey, Pastor, I can come once a week and clean the church building. Tell me. That's your brotherly service. You know what? Pastor, I can increase in my preaching, how often I preach. You know? Then tell me. I'm looking for you to serve. We're all different. We're all made differently, right? I love using Sister Trish. She does those cards. They're free. You need a Christmas card, a birthday card. Man, you go to a shop and buy a card of that quality, you're spending $5, $6, $7. All right? Sister Trish does it for free. And that's a service. That's serving the brethren. You know, we all have different ways that we can serve, don't we? Okay? And if you say, well, there's really nothing that I do in the house of God, well, be an example of brotherly service. Find something to do. I promise you there's something to do. Okay? And I don't even know necessarily what it is. You probably know better than me. You know, when you say in your heart, I wish we did this at church, or I wish church was more like this, that's probably where you can go, Pastor, I'm willing to do that which is in my heart. You tell me. You know, let me just make sure that it's in line with our goals as a church, okay? And if it is, and you're willing and able, hey, we got youth group coming up this Friday. If some of the men go, hey, Pastor, you take a break from youth group because you're preaching already 3 times, 4 times a week, say, I'm willing to do a lesson for the children. Hey, you step in and do it. Praise God for that, okay? Just find a way that you can serve in the body of Christ. All right, brethren, those are the 5 points. Now, I'll just quickly read to you the passage that we started with, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Let's be a church as an example to all of Australia. Yes, Hervey Bay, yes, Melbourne. Yes, wherever else the Lord would send us, Sydney. You know, wherever it is, let's be an example to others. An example within us, an example to others. And those 5 points once again, brethren. Number 1 was be an example to believers in other places. Number 2, an example of Christian maturity. Number 3, an example of strong workers. Number 4, an example of careful ordination. And number 5, an example of brotherly service. Let's pray.